I'm so excited to share with you that the doors are officially open for my first ever phone-free event that's happening in Los Angeles, California on February 28th at Mudwater Gather in Santa Monica, with the option for you to dive even deeper on March 1st. Now look, this event is about you. It's about you building connections and community and us all really bringing this analog revolution to life and reminding our hearts and souls what we truly crave most, what nourishes our being, which is co-regulating with other humans, having our mirror neurons dance together, sharing experiences together, but also learning together. So on top of all the community and connection possibilities for you, there's also an incredible lineup of speakers. I've got internationally renowned nervous system expert Sarah Baldwin, Nike master trainer Brandon Collingsworth talking about purpose and meaning, and Mandy Balak, who's the president of the Gathering Festival, which is one of the largest marketing and branding conferences in North America. So we're going to be diving deeper into what does the future look like to walk alongside technology and use technology as a tool. Now look, if you want to dive even deeper, there's limited space for a VIP dinner on the Saturday night. And if you want to go even deeper, if it's aligned for leaders, coaches, therapists, entrepreneurs, branding, marketing, whoever is called, there's a mastermind on the Sunday morning with even more limited seating. And that's going to be about what does the future look like to create in this world with technology. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you want to find out more and save your spot, go to markgroves.com/future. I can't wait to see you there. Don't waste this opportunity, this chance, this moment that you get to say, this was, when you look back on your life, the moment where everything changed. And as I said to you, it might feel immense, the impact of your choice today, just to say yes to listening to yourself, just to say, yes, the truth does exist. It's true. I feel this way. That's it. Start there. The rest of it, you're starting to strategize and ruminate and catastrophize. Don't go there yet. Just begin with landing where you are now. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today I'm coming at you with a solo episode. And before I dive in, I want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for trusting me with your time, for exchanging time to be here. That means honestly the world to me. And please hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any episodes. We've got so much coming up where we dive deeper into what it means to be a human. How do we relate on a better scale? How do we create better cultures, better communities, and ultimately a better self? So with that said, if you feel like this episode resonates with you and you think it might resonate with someone else, it could be helpful for them, please share it with them so that we can spread the love. All right. Let's go. Recently, I was reading this book by John O'Donohue called Anamkara. And in it, there's an excerpt that I wanted to share that was very resonant for me. Once the soul awakens, the search begins, and you can never go back. From then on, you are inflamed with a special longing that will never again let you linger in the lowlands of complacency and partial fulfillment. The eternal makes you urgent. You are loath to let the compromise or the threat of danger hold you back from striving toward the summit of fulfillment. When this spiritual path opens, you can bring an incredible generosity to the world and to the lives of others. Sometimes it is easy to be generous outward, to give and give and give, and yet remain ungenerous to yourself. You lose the balance of your soul if you do not learn to take care of yourself. You need to be generous to yourself in order to receive the love that surrounds you. You can suffer from a desperate hunger to be loved. You could search long years in lonely places far outside yourself. Yet the whole time, this love is but a few inches away from you. It is at the edge of your soul, but you have been blind to its presence. Through some hurt, a door has been slammed shut within your heart, and you are powerless to unlock it and receive the love. We must remain attentive in order to be able to receive. Boris Pasternak said, "When a great moment knocks on the door of your life, it is often no louder than the beating of your heart, and it is very easy to miss it." It is strangely ironic that the world loves power and possessions. You can be very successful in this world, be admired by everyone, have endless possessions, a lovely family, success in your work, and have everything the world can give. But behind it all, you can be completely lost and miserable. If you have everything the world has to offer you, but you do not have love, then you are the poorest of the poorest of the poor. Every human heart hungers for love, If you do not have the warmth of love in your heart, there is no possibility of real celebration and enjoyment. No matter how hard, competent, self-assured, or respected you are, no matter what you think of yourself or what others think of you, the one thing you deeply long for is love. No matter where we are, who we are, what we are, or what kind of journey we are on, we all need love. It's such a rich passage from this book. I especially love the quote that he shares from Boris Pasternak. When a great moment knocks on the door of your life, it is often no louder than the beating of your heart. It is very easy to miss it. I've been thinking a lot about that once the soul awakens, the search begins and you can't go back. Once there's been an invitation, once there has been a lightning bolt to the soul, you can't pretend there hasn't been. Once you've started the journey, you can't get off the train. You know, it's ironic because you can start the journey of life, the one where you're told what kind of life to live, what kind of job to get, what kind of degree to get, that you even need to get a degree, what kind of family you need to create, how much money you need to make. All those are trains you can get on that you can get off. But once you've felt the bliss of alignment, once you've felt the bliss of saying yes to yourself, that's where something awakens within us, a hunger, a drive that we can't pretend that it doesn't exist. And I would argue that the majority of our addictions are actually sourced from trying to get rid of this pain, this awareness that there is more that we're not saying yes to. And it's in the just saying yes. And the overwhelming feeling we can get is that if I say yes to what I'm being asked to do, then it's going to completely change my life. It's going to have this devastating impact on it. And while that very well may be true, you can start with the small thing, the yes. I hear you. Yes, I hear you, soul. Yes, I hear you, voice. Yes, I hear you, truth. We often go searching for answers because we don't want to hear the ones we have within ourselves. A lot of us go looking for advice from other people and we externalize the authority over our own lives. We were taught somewhere not to trust ourselves, but it's actually in the saying yes to the voice that, so often that voice is that decision, that why in the road that we're at, that could be through whatever mechanism that the soul has us awaken through, you know, a breakup, through someone leaving us, through us being asked to leave, through a hard conversation we've been putting off for weeks, months, years, decades. That call can't be ignored. And when we finally answer it, we know that that choice can never be unmade, right? It's strange that the choice to abandon ourselves and hide ourselves is one that can be unmade. On some level, at any point in your life, you can decide to be all of you. That you can stop pretending to like shit you don't like. Stop pretending that the path you're currently forging is one you desire. Even if you have small 1-degree changes you want to make in your life, think about that. 1 degree today is thousands of degrees off from your life path in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. I suppose the question we must sit with is, how much longer can you go? How much longer can I go? Pretending I don't know what I know. Pretending the call isn't there. I was listening to Michael Mead recently, and he was talking about how a culture doesn't heal itself. Like nothing out, the culture itself isn't going to have a spontaneous awareness and healing. It is through the healing of the individuals that compose the culture and the community that the culture is healed. So it is you and I's work. It's your and I's work that we actually answer that we actually embody and live the thing we're being asked to live, whether that's alignment with our nutrition, alignment with our fitness, alignment with a meditation practice, alignment with whatever. But look at how sick our culture is because we're addicted to things because there's a hook available within us because we're not happy. I was recently reading a passage from Francis Weller's book. And he says, we are born as Stone Age children. And I think about that, that we're like born expecting to enter a world with Stonehenge, expecting to enter a world absent of all this technology. That, and you know, as I say that, I'm not saying there isn't such beautiful value in that. You know, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, this technology has allowed us to find one another, allowed us to have these conversations. This wasn't available when I was 20. And you know, the cost of my misalignment, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that, you know, the choices I made that were out of integrity or were not aligned, they didn't lead to devastating things. And I know that they can. And I have such gratitude that that didn't occur for me. The reason I say that is answer the nudge, answer the thing. You know, creating businesses or having hard conversations or, you know, starting to date, telling someone you care about them or setting boundaries or creating, getting clarity on agreements and expectations. None of this is different than the other because they're all a way of being. And the way of being is, are you willing to bring all of you to life? That's it. It's like, will you bring all of you to your relationships? Will you bring it to everything? And so much of you is easily consumable, like extracted through the addictions you can develop, through the ones you might have. What are the things that you do so that you don't have to be with what you know? If you don't know, then whatever you can't put down or can't stop doing it for a moment and see what comes forward. Isn't it wild that we wait till we have to? You don't have to wait. And that's the thing is like the have to is usually such a painful shift. And if you have an inkling in your body right now, if this is resonating for you, then it's like, let's go. Don't waste this opportunity, this chance, this moment that you get to say, this was, when you look back on your life, the moment where everything changed. The moment where you were like, that was the moment. That was the time I made the choice. And as I said to you, it might feel immense, the impact of your choice today, just to say yes to listening to yourself, just to say, yes, the truth does exist. It's true. I feel this way. That's it. Start there. The rest of it, you're starting to strategize and ruminate and catastrophize. Don't go there yet. Just begin with landing where you are now. Just begin with being. Instead of escaping your being so you don't have to be with the truth so you can be within your own body, within your own heart. There is no greater pain than our own abandonment of ourselves. It might show up as a betrayal from someone else or someone else leaving us. And it might be true that a father or a mother or both we felt abandoned by or were abandoned by. And yet, we must figure out how to come back to ourselves. We must figure out how to stop living our life from our wounds, how to stop being the child who's desperately looking to be chosen, looking to belong, looking to be enough, that we actually at some point have to decide that we're no longer going to orient to our life from our wounds, that I'm not going to struggle anymore trying to get something to like me, someone to like me, something to be aligned, someone to be aligned. They either are or they aren't. You invite them to alignment, whatever that looks like, or not. You're either aligned with them or you're not. The invitation to come together in a similar path must be accepted by both people, and one person can never do the work of two. That's the lesson for the one person. That's the lesson for the one person. And for the other person, it's for someone to finally say, I'm not doing the work for you, so they can learn that they need to do it themselves, and they can finally step into being a functioning adult, and we could step out of being an overfunctioning child and become a functioning adult too. We're not the victims of the people who extract from us, although that is the experience, and I'm not negating that we can be victimized, but I'm saying that we are on some level, if we're ready to take full responsibility for our lives, if we want to create the life we desire, then we have to take responsibility that on some level, we're still consenting to it. That's it. We don't have just that acceptance that I'm consenting to everything that is in my life. Let's go. Now you're in choice. Now you recognize choice. Now when you recognize choice, you can change your choices. Till you recognize that you're making a choice, you can't change your choice because you don't see it as an option. So what is the path to liberation? It's to not just insert choice back into your life, but to recognize you've always had it. And so if you've always had it, what would you choose? Now when we're ready to step to that, that's where we let go. We let go of what was. We let go of what we've been, of who we've been, of what we've accepted. And maybe as Peter Crone said, we let be. Now, I want to read to you an email I wrote actually quite a while ago. And I was reading it recently and I thought, you have to hear this. I have to put this on the podcast. Because I think beyond it being read, it being heard shifts something different within us. So let's go. What does it mean to let things end well? For it to be a good death, so to speak. Consider this. What is your relationship to endings of any and all kinds? And more specifically, when it comes to relationship endings, do you hold on? Do you resist the change? Can you hold grace alongside goodbyes? My answer to those questions in my younger years was, hell yes. I hold on. Damn right I resist the change. And grace, what the hell is that? I knew resentment. I knew hiding my grief. And I also knew how to disassociate from the pain. I didn't know the greatest gifts in my life would be found in my ability to end things well and to let things end. Which of course makes sense, because how can we orient openly and wholeheartedly towards new beginnings and fresh starts if we can't fully let go of and grieve what we have been holding? To stand in the space between of holding on to what was while allowing what is to arrive is a split none of us can truly hold wholeheartedly. This isn't to shame us for trying. I mean, it's really just a protective mechanism to hold on to the love we know and memories of our past. Even if they're painful, if we hold on, the memories can't leave us again. But new love can leave. New possibilities can let us down. New hopes can become new sadnesses. And you know what truth lives deeply in this? Get ready. If you correlate endings to your worth and your value, you won't see the value in endings. If you believe endings make you invaluable, or if you believe that you're not worthy because your efforts and attempts towards your dreams and the relationship you want aren't working, you miss out on the wisdom trying to be imparted on you by the experiences of your life. As is said, evolve or repeat. Okay, stick with me. So previously, I remember reading this passage from Heidi Preeb. To love someone long-term is to attend 1,000 funerals of the people they used to be. The people they're too exhausted to be any longer. The people they don't recognize inside themselves anymore. The people they grew out of. The people they never ended up growing into. We so badly want the people we love to get their spark back when it burns out, to become speedily found when they are lost. But it is not our job to hold anyone accountable to the people they used to be. It is our job to travel with them between each version and to honor what emerges along the way. Sometimes it will be an even more luminescent flame. Sometimes it will be a flicker that disappears and temporarily floods the room with a perfect and necessary darkness. Okay. So this might bring up thoughts about your current and or past relationships, which is great, but hold on. I really want you to think about this in the context of you. Do you allow yourself this level of grace? To love yourself fully, long-term, is to attend 1,000 funerals of who you used to be. God, that's a tall task, isn't it? To love who you were, even and especially if you were not proud of that person. I had this realization years ago that the former versions of me that had the most to teach me were the ones I judged and was most ashamed of. They were the ones I locked in a prison hoping I wouldn't notice them and the people who knew me wouldn't see them. It was a racket that was robbing me of not only being present, but also of loving the totality of my being. I didn't let myself grieve who I was, and in turn, grow from what I'd learned. In banishing these old versions of myself, I didn't have access to the wisdom they could impart upon me. I say all of this so that you can make this moment, or any moment you decide you want, a new beginning. A sacred and beautiful funeral, or if you're Irish, a wake. Let it be a good death. Honor who you've been. Honor what has brought you here to this moment. And as Rumi so famously wrote, why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? Move outside the tangle of fear thinking. The entrance door to the sanctuary is inside you. Deep breaths to that. If you want to create something new, it actually requires that you let go of what was and what is that you're holding on to. And I know that can be desperately scary. I mean, it can feel like when we let go of that, We are cascading down a hill, like a very fast one that we can't stop. And I want to just point to you that at any moment you can pause. At any moment you can say, hey, I'm going to make a choice to just take a deep breath here. I'm not going to pause in a way that sabotages my momentum, but pause in a way that honors my capacity to hold change right now. And in doing that, you allow yourself to titrate, if necessary, into a different life. But remember how I said earlier that your life being just 1 degree off today leads to a very different life. And all we have to do is just shift our direction a little each day back to our true north, and we find ourselves right here.